right, kids, come on up. Good morning. Everybody get back to school okay this week? All right. Well, I want each of you to tell me something that you're afraid of. You got something?
China dolls.
China dolls, okay. Clowns. Especially grandma's, she says.
Clowns.
What about you? Clowns? Oh, everyone's afraid of clowns. What about you?
Christmas trees.
Oh no, that's a sad thing to be scared of. The dark. Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. Do you have one, Anna? Spiders. Sadie? Are you scared of anything? Yeah? You're gonna think on it? Chloe? The dark. That's a good one. Connor? The dark. I don't like snakes. Anybody else? I don't like snakes. Well, today, Pastor Rick is going to talk about a man named Joshua. Do you guys know the song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho? Yeah? Okay, well, that's the guy we're talking about. And what's cool is that in Sunday school, right now, who are we talking about? We were talking about the little baby got sent down in the river, Moses, right? And Moses is going to grow up, and he's going to be called to save the Israelites and pull them out of slavery. But you know who comes after Moses? Joshua. And that's who Pastor Rick is going to start talking about. So today, we're going to talk about Joshua, and he was called to actually take the people into the promised land. And in order to do that, he was going to have to face some battles, just like the song says, right? He was going to have to take over some cities, and so do you think he could have been scared? I mean, that was a big thing God called him to do. He might have been a bit afraid. Well, he could have been scared of the people, what he was going to come across. Yeah, they didn't know what was going to be in that new promised land. Okay, lots of things they could have been afraid about. And I know I've done an experiment similar to this before, but I don't know that we've done this exact one. But we're going to see what happens when we let fear take over, okay? All right, so first of all, Jackson, you might have to be my extra hand, okay? Do you want to hold the mic for me? Thanks. Okay, so first of all, God has called us to be the light, right? In the dark world, in the sinful world, we're supposed to be the light. Okay. But he wants us to go and share Jesus with others. He wants us to be a witness at school or to our neighbors. But sometimes we start fearing or having a little doubt. Okay? This is going to be our doubt. We start thinking, you know, I don't know, what if my friends make fun of me if I say something about Jesus, or what if they talk about me behind my back? Okay, so we start doubting. I don't know if I can be a light for Jesus. That might be too hard. Okay, what if we actually ask someone to come to church, or we invite them to Awana or to VBS, and they tell us no? Would that make us sad?
Yeah,
I would be pretty discouraged if I asked someone and they told me no. It would make me probably want to not ask someone again. So we start getting discouraged. So we start doubting and we start getting discouraged, and you know what happens? We have fear, and it bubbles up, and we're going to see what happens to our light. What happened to our light?
It went away.
It went out. Did I pour any liquid on that?
No.
Nope. Nothing fell on my candle, did it? But it put out my light. What made my light go out?
The
fizz, right? The gas that it put off. Okay, so that, thanks, Jackson. So that was like allowing fear to take over in our heart. If we get discouraged or if we have doubt, it puts out our light. We can't be a witness for Jesus if we're afraid. Okay, so if Joshua would have let himself would have let the fear he had about going into this new land and about having these battles, if he would have let that control him, do you think they ever would have made it to the promised land? No, I don't think so. But you know what? In the Bible, in Joshua, God tells him a lot. Like, I don't, maybe Pastor Rick has the number. How many times he says, do not fear, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And he tells Joshua over and over and over. Do you think that God gave you guys that same promise? He does. He promises to always be with us and to not be afraid. All right, so think about that this week. If there's someone, you know, Awana starting back up this week, maybe you have a friend that you've been wanting to invite, but you just haven't got the courage to ask him yet. Remember that our light goes out for Jesus if we let fear control us, okay? And he's always with us. Even if someone says no, that's okay. We can try again, and we know that God is always with us. All right, let's pray, and then you guys can head to Kids Connect. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for these boys and girls. I'm thankful for our church family who supports them and loves them, for all those who volunteer their time. Lord, most of all, I'm thankful for your word. It's so neat as we learn how you have woven all of these characters together, how their stories all build up to you, Jesus. We are thankful that your word is true and that we have that to lean on. I pray that each one of us, me included, would not let fear stand in our way. God, that we would remember that you are with us always and that you have given us the courage to fight the battles, Lord, so that we can be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I don't know if Miss Christie, I think our new plan for the first Sunday of the month is after 20 minutes, we're going to come back upstairs so our kiddos can join us for communion. So we'll see you in 20 minutes, guys.
Hopefully 20 minutes. You can leave it there if you want. If you would, let's get busy. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Turn on your phones, your tablets, whatever you're using. It is the sixth book in the Bible, behind Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. After last week's message, and we hit the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God just kind of kept playing with me all day, and so I began to do some reading and found that maybe the book of Joshua was the place that we needed to go in light of that and of light of where we are as a church. So for the next couple months, probably, we'll study the book of Joshua. So what do we need to know this morning as we get ready to study this book of Joshua? Again, I want you to remember the verse we finished with last week. The Lord our God has said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain, break camp and go. Remember that Deuteronomy is kind of a recap of sorts of what has already taken place over the previous 40 years. Moses is taking the people on a journey, kind of recapping the Exodus. He's recapping Leviticus and Numbers, going back and hitting all the highlights of the laws, the time spent in the desert. He's reminding the people of the promise that God gave to them, this promised land that he gave to Moses, that he also gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then at the end of Deuteronomy, he calls up a young man named Joshua. Young is a relative term in those days. But he calls a new leader. He brings him up. This is where the people are at. There's a reason Moses had to do Deuteronomy. There's a reason that he had to go back and recap everything. And that's because the people that had experienced all that rich history were gone. The people he's speaking to are people who did not experience all of those things. They're unfamiliar with that other than what their parents or their grandparents had taught them. You see, they're the only ones left because a generation had to die off before we could get to this point where Joshua was to take over. They had to die off because of their sins and their lack of faith in God. They didn't trust in his promises, which is a sin. They worshiped other gods. They were filled with idolatry. That was their biggest sin of the day. Later on, when we get into Joshua, where we're going to find in verse 14 and 15 in chapter 24, one of the most popular chapters that we have in the Bible, one of the verses, we find that idolatry was huge. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. So Joshua says, look, these people were a sinful people. They worshipped other gods. And so Moses takes them on this review of their past, their history. We've been doing the same thing, not worshiping other gods, but we have been reviewing our past in our history. We've seen the church grow from a handful of people, about eight or so, to around 400 on a weekend now. 150 years, they started out in a residence, and then they moved to a store, and then they moved into other buildings, and here we find ourselves today. At times, attendance has gone from, again, eight people to more than 400 people. It's dipped, it's gone up and down. Some of that due to the refinery closing, some of that due to war, some of that kind of due to us not paying attention to a changing population. Maybe some of it we dipped because we were comfortable with status quo while culture was changing around us and we didn't really recognize it. In Deuteronomy, Moses is giving his final instructions to this new generation before he passes the baton to Joshua. You see, because Moses, just like the people on the Exodus, would not see the promised land. He too was disobedient to God. But he was so faithful, I believe, that God takes him up on the mountain and gives him a peek of what he is going to miss out on because of disobedience and sin. Sherry always tells me that if we could just get a glimpse of what heaven is going to look like, man, we would be so faithful. So Moses tells them that he won't be joining them, and then he calls young Joshua up to the front. Again, young Joshua, I say, but probably not that young. So what do we know about Joshua? Who is this guy that Moses is bringing to the forefront to take over? Most of you probably, if I said Joshua, would go right to this one verse. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See it everywhere. It's a very popular verse. And probably when we think of Joshua, that or Joshua fit the battle of. You guys, come, all right. Teach this generation the song. When we first meet Joshua, he's a slave. He is a slave in Egypt. He is part of the tribe of Ephraim. And it seems that he is the oldest son of a man named Nun. Now, Joshua, his name originally is Hoshea, but Moses changes it to Joshua. Hoshea means salvation. So maybe this is this reminder that God had promised salvation to the people of Israel, that he was going to free them. And so Nun names his oldest son Hoshea. Now, as the oldest son, he would have been in great danger on that day we call Passover. But he must have been an obedient person and took blood and painted above the threshold of his house, the door of his house, because he was saved, that death would pass over. So we know that he was a slave. We know that he is faithful and obedient. Early on, he is chosen by Moses to be his aide and a military leader. The first recorded life event that we have of Joshua's in Exodus chapter 17, there's a great battle going on. The Amalekites have attacked the Israelites, and Moses commands Joshua to take some men out and go and fight. Now, this battle, you may not remember the chapter, but you remember because Moses is standing on the hillside and he's got the rod of God in his hand, the staff of God, and he's holding up his arms for the battle. And whenever he holds his arms up, the Israelites have the upper hand. And when his arms start to fall down, the Amalekites gain advantage. And so pretty soon, Aaron and Ur are holding up his arms. And God commands Moses to write that down because he wants Joshua to remember that God was with them in this battle. It's going to be important for Joshua to understand that God was with them. As his second in command, as the aide to Joshua, Joshua was present on Mount Sinai when Moses met with God. For 40 days he was on the mountain. Not right with him, but he was there. Joshua was picked along with Caleb and 10 other people to be spies to go into the promised land and check it out and make sure everything was okay. When he came back, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that said, yes, This is it. This is the promised land. Let's go take this land. God said it's ours, so let's trust him. He already promised it to us before. Numbers 14, we see that. He says that the Lord is pleased with us. He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He'll give it to us. He'd already promised it to them. And Caleb and Joshua say, let's go. But unfortunately, the naysayers cry loud, and they cry often, and the people listen to them instead of Caleb and Joshua. And as a result, their entry into the promised land was delayed 40 years. It's still that way today. And I don't care what, whether it's church or business or whatever, it's the naysayers who often cry out the loudest and drown out those who desire to be in God's will, like Caleb and Joshua, that fail to act. Maybe it's out of fear that we don't step out. We don't like the unknown. Maybe it's fear of being ridiculed, as Melissa said. Maybe it's the fear of having to be obedient to something that we don't really want to do. We talked about that last week in speaking about God's will. Again, fear of the unknown. Or fear of being uncomfortable or being uneasy. We live in a society where everything is geared towards comfort. But we also find, because of this, probably, as Melissa said, one of the other most popular verses in the whole book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:7. In this translation, NIV, it says, be strong and very courageous. Four times in the opening chapter of this book, we see God encourage his servant Joshua with these words. Three times in the first, I think it's seven verses. He says, be strong, Joshua. Be courageous. In chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, as Moses is commissioning him, he says, Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. And that's not enough. God has to jump in after Moses does that and says, okay, Joshua, look, be strong and be courageous. So that there must be something in this that God has to keep encouraging him. There must be something in Joshua that we need to know. So as we get ready to study this book, what are the early lessons that we can learn here in the book of Joshua? Well, the first lesson that I want you to learn today, and I think it probably affects many of you, is this. It's okay to be overwhelmed. It is okay to be overwhelmed. We don't know much really about Joshua. We know a few things now, but I want to jump into verses 1 through 6 here in Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. As you think about this verse right now, I want you to do me a big favor. I want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes this morning. Right? Think about where Joshua is, what he must be feeling as he is commanded to lead the people into the promised land. Nowhere in those first six verses did God say, okay, hey, Joshua, this is a piece of cake. This is going to be really easy. I've already promised it to you, so just walk over and grab it and take it. The people will fall down. It'll be no big deal. No. He says, Joshua, you got to go, but don't be afraid. Again, three times, I think in the first seven verses, if we look at the next verse, it's the same. Don't be afraid. Why should Joshua be afraid? If God's already promised it, why should he be overwhelmed? Well, I think this. If you're Joshua and you've got to take Moses' place, that could be daunting and overwhelming. This is Moses who spoke to God in a burning bush. This is Moses who God used to free the Israelites from Pharaoh in Egypt. They were the greatest nation at that time, the strongest. Moses who stretched out a rod and parts the Red Sea. Moses who went up on a mountaintop and received the Ten Commandments from God himself. Moses, the man whose face shone with the glory of God. How would you like to fill those shoes? How would you like to take his place? And if that's not overwhelming enough, how about being commanded to do something that's been waiting for all those years, to go into the promised land? The land was promised to them over 500 years ago, and now they're just now getting ready to take it because they've been delayed because of idolatry and disobedience. And Joshua, we haven't been able to do it yet, but now I want you to do it. This is the land that the prophets are going to preach about, where the Messiah will come from. The land that they're going to take is the land where Jesus will be born, where he will live, where he will die, be buried and resurrected. This land is in the center of all the nations. It's an important place. And God says, Joshua, now's the time. Now's the time to go. He's already promised to wipe out all the people, but still think it'd be pretty overwhelming that this promise has loomed large in the history of the people, and all of a sudden it's Joshua. After Moses couldn't get it done, now Joshua, it's your turn. And if that's not enough to be overwhelming, let me throw in one more thing. Joshua knew the background of the people that he was supposed to lead into the promised land. These are the children of stiff-necked, stubborn people, the Bible says. These are the children of the people who took an 11-day journey and turned it into a 40-year adventure because they would proclaim the Lord and then they would proclaim other gods and then they would proclaim the Lord and then they would proclaim other gods. Think about, go back and read those. God says, get these people ready to go. You will lead these people. Notice it's not, you will lead my people. You're going to lead these people, Joshua. If it was an impossible task for Moses, I mean, if Moses couldn't get the people there, come on, Lord, me, Joshua, to do it, I imagine that he was pretty overwhelmed. But the second lesson is we see how he responds. As we see, Joshua is faithful. He puts one foot in front of the other, and he trusts God. He breaks camp, and he goes into the land of blessing for these people that he takes him. Philip Keller is an author who's written some 40 books on faith and different devotionals, and this is what he says about Joshua. Joshua has seldom been given full credit, and he deserves as perhaps the greatest man of faith ever to set foot on the stage of human history. In fact, his entire brilliant career was a straightforward story of simply setting down one foot after another in quiet compliance with the commands of God. What I want you to understand this morning about Joshua going forward is he's absolutely faithful. In the midst of this daunting task, overwhelmed with the task at hand, but again, the people that he has leading and their disobedience, he's going up against people who have been determined to be very large, well-fortified cities, well-armed people, yet he's faithful. As Keller says, one foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. He just kept going and trusting, going and trusting. And that takes us to the third lesson this morning I want you to take away from these first six verses, is that God is faithful. Verses 3 and 5, God is getting ready to deliver on his promise. You take this land. Take this land that I am giving you. It was the promise given to Moses. Clear back in Deuteronomy chapter 11, if we go there, verses 24 and 25, it says, every place where you set your foot will be yours, Moses tells the people. It says, your territory will extend, and he goes over the same parameters again that was given to him. He said, the Lord your God, as he promised you, it's going to be your land. It's the Moses promise. It's the same promise that was given to Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis. On this day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And he goes on to describe it again, all the parameters, all the boundaries. See, God is faithful. God has been, for thousands of years, he's been faithful. Doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It took years to take over the promised land. It didn't happen overnight. In fact, in Joshua's lifetime, they never completely get all of the promised land. Even in David's regime, David comes the closest, but they still don't take all the promised land in David's reign. They're still fighting over land there today. But God wants Joshua to know, I'm faithful. I'm giving you this land. Verses 5 and 6, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people into the to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. God says, look, Joshua, man, I was faithful to Moses. I was faithful to Abraham. I'll be faithful to you as well. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hosea means salvation. And he's commissioned to lead the people into the promised land. And God promises to be with them. It reminds me of another commissioning that we have in Matthew chapter 28. I've been granted all authority, Jesus says. He says, go, make disciples of all nations. He says, lo, I am with you till the end of time. Jesus promised never to leave us nor forsake us either. He promised to be with us always. He said so in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. He said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. I'm with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Because I am with you. I want you to understand this morning that being courageous doesn't mean you can't be afraid. Right? Doesn't mean that you can't be afraid. Courage means that you press on despite your fear. Courage means that you have determined that whatever is before you is more important than your fear. And that's what God asks for us as a church family. Be strong and be courageous and know that whatever I have for you that you're afraid of is more important than that. Look, I know that some of you here this morning are overwhelmed with your life situations. Some of you are facing health issues, serious health issues. Some of you are overwhelmed maybe by financial problems this morning. Some of you are overwhelmed, I know, maybe taking care of parents, ill parents, some of them being sandwiched in between and helping take care of grandkids at the same time. For some of you, your jobs may be overwhelming. For others, even just family life and marriage can be difficult and overwhelming at times. What I would urge you to be is like Joshua, be strong and courageous. Wake up each morning and put one foot in front of the other. Jesus has promised us abundant life. Not as the world sees abundant life. Don't be confused there. But as abundant life as followers of Christ, knowing that we have an eternity of abundance waiting for us. As overwhelming as our struggles are today, they are just a blink of an eye to the promises that God has for us for eternity. In our humanity, I know that's hard to grasp. It's very difficult to think that what I'm going through today isn't very important, or it's not big enough. But God wants us to know that He is with us. Be strong and courageous. No matter what part of your life is overwhelming, remember that God is with you. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, walks with you. He promised to be with you always. And once you've accepted His offer of salvation, He's there to help you, walk with you. We have to trust that He wants to be there with you. So if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you haven't accepted His gift of salvation, understand today that you're a sinner. All of us are sinners. Some of us have chosen to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that He would take care of our sin for us by dying on the cross. But if you've never made that decision today, understand that that's the most important thing. Jesus wants you to know He's there with you in your sin as well. That He was willing to take your place on the cross, that you might have the hope of this abundant life. Maybe not here again on earth again, but in eternity. So you must trust in Jesus for your salvation, and then you must trust in Him every day. Every day. What is it that you need to give Him off of your plate today? What is it you need to trust Him with? Even though you can't see any good coming right now, where is it that you need to trust Him more? Again, if that's just your eternity, where you'll spend life after this earth is over, please turn to your neighbor as we get ready to sing later on and ask them about what the salvation thing is, or meet me in the library afterwards. I'd love to share more with you about how much Jesus loves you, how much God loves you. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment as we make our way to the communion table.